into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hi guys, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Foster's After Show. Tonight we're talking about Season 3, Episode 9, called Idlewild. And here to help us break it down is Jordan Rodriguez, who plays Matt.
How are you?
Good, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, I'm here, I'm Jeffrey Master, Stephanie Georgie's here. Hannah and Jillian are out tonight, however, Jillian is on the line. Hi Jillian! I think we can. Can we lower the music a bit?
You think you can? Listen, I'm so sad that I'm not there tonight, but I did watch the episode this morning, and I don't want to jump all over the place because I know you guys were totally excited to break it down, but oh my God. That sex scene. Stephanie?
Yes! I know! I'm so sad that you're not here. I was like, oh my God. I just finished telling Jordan that that's the reason why everyone will be so sad, because they wanted to see yours and Hannah's reaction to both of those. But don't worry.
Honestly, I was so red in the face watching it. Like, it's something that we've been wanting for so long, and I was like, I can't even believe this happened. Also, the episode called Idlewild. Forget Idle, it was wild.
Right?
Jillian.
You know, we saw so many great things. We finally saw, you know, the Browley moment that we were craving. We saw Matiana again, so I'm glad Jordan's there to talk to you guys about Matt and Mariana. And I'm a little crushed by Death and Lena. Mm-hmm. I was so excited for Browley, and then they sort of crushed me in the end, and I got all emotional. It was all over the map for me.
Oh,
I know. It was a big episode.
But I wanted to make sure that I talked to you guys, and I'm not going to be there next week either, and I won't be able to call in because I'm actually going to be overseas, but I promise that there's going to be another amazing guest sitting in my seat so the fans don't have to worry about it. They won't miss me.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for calling in and have an amazing trip.
Yes, we love you.
No problem. Thanks, guys. We'll see you in the B season.
Absolutely. Bye. All right, bye.
See ya.
Bye.
So Jillian alluded to it. Actually, she didn't allude it. She just said it outright.
Yeah, she did.
The sex scene. I'm not going to lie. It made me really uncomfortable.
No.
Like a good and bad way, which is, I guess, the way it is. Because here's the thing. Yes, we've been looking for this for, like, so long. But, like, I couldn't help but think these are two 17-year-olds. Like, the characters, at least. I don't know. I was, like, a little bit, like, queasy watching.
I loved it. I did think, I was like, damn, where did they learn how to do all that? You know, that was a lot. But I was so excited because, you know, surprisingly enough, it was more than what I expected. And I loved it because it was very passionate. I think they did both a great job at it. And yes, this is what the Browley fans wanted. And for those of you who hate Browley, I'm sorry. I don't care. This is amazing. And we're lucky because at least Robert Quinn is still around.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
Jordan, we ask every guest this. Are you on Team Browley?
Yes, I think I am. I'm very, I'm struggling, but I think I am.
Struggling because they're brother sister?
Yeah. And, like, I just want what's, I want the family to be together, like, really badly. But, especially watching that scene, it was kind of, you could kind of see how much in love they were, like, especially all kind of like tied it into a little knot, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, and I mean I didn't need any dialogue. I appreciated it was like just like the touching of the hands and the feelings and the eye contact. I was like, okay. Yeah.
And the song was actually Brad Hooks.
Young who wrote the piano?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's like our music director, and that was his actual, that's his band's song.
Oh, what is his band called?
It's called Young Romans.
Young Romans.
Nice.
Oh, that's a fun fact. Thank you for that.
A lot of our viewers actually said, were tweeting me, how perfect was the song to the scene? And I said, absolutely, it was magnificent. I thought it was great, and I'm just happy that they didn't make all of that happen while they were sitting at the fire. I'm glad that they both went to their rooms, had time to think. It was so much more realistic, especially since there had to have been some sneaking around, and it gave her, they were smart to let us watch her get ready for bed, because we knew exactly what she was wearing and how quickly it would have elevated had she not been in the proper clothing. So
yeah, in the teaser actually got me, because I watched the teaser for that ep, and I was like, wow, they just go upstairs and do it. I'm like, but then it actually, I remembered what the script said.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it felt like very real, and it was, I mean, obviously more like tasteful in that sense too. That wasn't just like, I'm going to pounce you on the same couch that Monty and Lena got caught on. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. It was like beautiful. Such a massive climax to like what we've been waiting like 2.5 seasons for.
Yes.
It was great.
It was super good. And the only thing though is, now to backtrack a little bit, the moment where she had to send Rita that text of the sound, the recording.
Yes.
I thought it was perfect the way she looked at everyone. You know, when she said bye.
Yeah.
Personally, that was crazy because that part did make me sad. And I get that's the reason why we're not all gung-ho for Bradley, but I don't know. I mean, ultimately, if they were to end up together, your partner is there for you forever. That's your family also.
Yeah. And I mean, I love, like we said, like it wasn't like a rash decision.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a girl who thinks she has literally nothing else to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, why not? Like, do this with this guy. Like,
right. And because it's Callie, she's such a good heart, you know, to take care of Rita, not to be hypocritical in the sense where Carmen was. You know, she told Carmen all this. Like, why would you do that? And then I was disappointed in Callie for just a moment when she was like, I thought we were friends. And it's like, no, because you're doing the same thing to her right now. So you have to analyze it and kind of be the bigger person.
Totally. Yeah, let's get into that, too. So we find out that that Brooke is blackmailing Carmen, blackmailing Callie for, like, the punch because she got into crystal meth.
Right.
And I didn't know you have to have a clean drug test for the Army.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know either way. Like, I've never something I thought about at all. That was I don't know, like, bring Rita back. That's such, like, a hard thing to do. I get where Carmen's coming from, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no one, so, like, let's bring down everybody.
Right. And the way she was just like, I have to look out for number one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in her position,
no one else is.
Yes.
Yeah. It made sense. Also, like, we found out, too, when Brooke says, I'm going to send my boyfriend after you and to run you over, you believe Brooke.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what a weird girl. I mean...
Crazy. I want to see her taken down.
I do. I want to see her also. Would you ever do that for your girlfriend, Jordan? Run over some
Whoa.
Girl?
No, I don't think I would.
Would your Who character...
Oh, my character?
No.
Definitely not.
No. Matt's a sweetheart.
Matt is amazing, yeah.
When he popped up, I was like, oh, yes.
I was like, perfect. No, I was like, good friend, you are. Ah, I was so happy. Because Brandon needed that. Someone not inside the house.
I agree. I mean, I love that the whole family came, but, like, Matt being there supportive, like, it just was something I wasn't even, like, expecting or looking out for.
And if you think about it, Matt's Brandon's only guy friend that we know of on the show. Because Brandon's always been in a relationship, and then he met Matt, who was his creative friend, and that's where they understood each other, and they started making music together, and then Matt invites him to the band, or introduces him to Lou. So I like the bond that they have, and I appreciated him coming up to see Brandon.
Yeah, it was a really perfect time for him to pop up, especially, like, Kat, like, sort of deceiving him in the past steps, and then, his competitor,
Tony,
deceived him, and, like, sort of biting his idea, and it just worked out really perfect, Matt showing up at that time.
Yeah. It's so funny talking to you now in real life. There's a strong showing of Australians on the show with Callie or Maya Mitchell.
I know. I actually met Maya just before she started filming The Fosters, and then we became quite close about 2-3 years ago, and with a group of other Australians, and then I went away. I went back home for a little bit, and then came back out here and officially, like, moved out here. And then I booked
the role
with Matt,
and awesome.
I just surprised her on set, and it was incredible.
Oh, that's Aww. So weird! Oh, totally coincidental.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
When you moved back out here, was that when you started doing the other TV shows, or did you do those and then go home and come back?
Dance Academy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did that when I started Dance Academy when I was about 17, and then I came out here for, like, my first, like, pilot season. Went home to film an NBC series called Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was that based on the movie Camp? No.
No.
Just kidding.
It's kind of like a, it's kind of like a comedy drama, kind of like Wet Hot American Summer sort of thing. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I know, my roommate was saying how she was explaining to me a little bit of your background also, because she was in, this was in Sydney, or where did you record that?
Yeah, well, it's in between Sydney and Queensland.
Okay. Because like, she said she was there when that was happening.
Really?
Yeah, so I started, she's like, yeah, I remember they were recording all of that when he, when she was living there at the time, but now she's here and my roommate.
That's like in the middle of nowhere. So.
I know. but she's in production, so I don't know if she had to do with all of that or, that was a nice little thing, connection there.
Yeah, that was just a full cast of Australians pretending to be Americans. And we don't have summer camp back in Australia, so we were all like, what do we do? Like, what's this like?
Oh, so camp is like a foreign concept, you guys.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, we have camp. We have, like, you know, band camp and whatever camp, retreats and stuff like that, but it's not never like a
recreational one?
Yeah. Where all our families go to. We don't.
Oh.
I'm sure there's plenty around, but it's not really a thing.
I feel like because in the United States, camp, if you think about it, a lot of our, I mean, adults here, that's their way of getting a babysitter.
Yeah, totally.
That's right.
A time off.
That's what it is.
That's funny. It's shot in Australia. I was watching clips today, and I didn't realize that it was shot there.
It was set up quite beautifully, actually.
So, yeah, you had some killer dance moves in the show. Dance Academy. Are we going to see some of that in the Fosters? We saw your singing chops. Any dancing?
I don't think so. I mean, we'll never know. But I remember when that episode where Mariana puts her foot, and they're like, that's why Jordan's on the show. He's going to replace him. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. Everyone was tweeting me, and they were freaking out when it happened, and it just didn't happen. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's so funny.
I wish we had a Dirty Dancing scene with you and Mariana.
Well, we never know. It might happen.
Right?
B season.
No one puts Mariana in the corner.
Oh, my God. All right, let's get back to the show. So Matt comes by, inspires Brandon to add an extra hand, I guess, as I said, to the piece. I didn't actually know what a looping pedal was before this.
Yeah, it's actually usually commonly used for like guitars. So Matt's a guitarist, and he probably had just had one lying around. But I've never really seen it on a piano. It actually works out really well. Mm-hmm. And it sounded amazing.
I've seen it used for those who make the noises within, like, the people who kind of recreate those tracks.
Yes.
Right, that's the same thing, right? Okay.
Like, Ed Sheeran uses it a lot, like, with his voice
to make,
and
like,
the guitar.
Beat, and then you have that looping, and then it creates something else, so then you almost create yourself an entire band.
Yeah.
If you will.
And it's not like the Phantom playing the piano, where, like, you walk away and the piano's still playing. It's just looping itself, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Through, like, the speakers.
Okay. I mean, it sounded amazing.
Yes.
They turned Brandon into this little, like, prodigy, and I was, like, so impressed.
Right?
Yeah.
It did. And I'm just happy that his character was here because of the... You're so level-headed. And I liked that... I wanted to see what was going to happen when Brandon got a little sad for a moment and decided to walk away. And normally people, they don't know how to handle him, but you just kind of walked after. I was like, good. Brandon needs that kind of a male stability in his life that isn't his father, clearly. But someone who understands him. You're on his level.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I understand, like, the music side of things as well. So I think he appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a Brandon and Lou-centered relationship for so long that I was like, oh, yeah, Brandon and Matt also have, like, a certain bond from the band.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. Like you said, though, there's so many TV shows where there's conflict and someone runs away. Like, yes, please, chase after him.
Because it's not that serious. And if you know him, you know that that's just what he does. Like, you can handle it.
And that's what he needs.
Yes. So. And he did. And then what did we get? Like...
Magic.
Yes.
Magic hands. So he wins the competition.
Which is amazing.
It was great. And then I liked that his piano playing, the actual song, which we were impressed by, was inspiring each of the cast to, like, turn internally into themselves and be like, what do I want most in life?
Yes.
You know?
I didn't even notice that.
Like, the power of music.
Absolutely. Especially to see someone, knowing that he composed it, it's always so beautiful to see someone create something, and then when you're lucky enough to perform it yourself, that's also so inspiring. And I loved the face shots that they had on everyone, especially when Callie was like, is this my song? Or I mean, not really, she probably didn't know that it was about her, but still, it was cute.
I think she did.
Yeah,
I thought she did,
because it always goes back to when the piano teacher told Brandon, you know, you have to play with, like, you had pain in your life.
Yeah.
And so I like that this is the first thing that he can actually play and just
express.
Yes, express that way.
And his, like, impassioned speech introducing it, too.
It was, and well said, too, because everyone did get competitive, and I liked that. I know the teacher's like, good, because you are here to learn and not just to compete.
Yeah.
That's why he won.
Totally, yeah. And I loved Matt and Mariana's eyes looking at each other.
Oh, I know.
It was, like, so subtle, too, whereas the audience is like, wait a second. What's happening?
Because she noticed him first, and then when she saw again, he had noticed her, and he was just looking at her, and they deserve that. They just finished so quickly. That's why there's probably so much tension there.
I know. Jordan, do we think that Matt came back to help to support Brandon, or secretly hoping Mariana would be there?
Oh, I definitely think he came back for Brandon, but he knew Mariana was going to be there.
Okay.
As well, yeah, it was in the back of his mind. But I don't think that wasn't his main intention. It was definitely Brandon.
Okay. And then later on, we find out when Mariana and Matt start kissing that Matt is also, a virgin. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word, when you were building the character of Matt, like figuring out who he was and how he's different from you, how he's similar, did you ever like consider like whether or not he was a virgin? Like when you started playing the role?
No, I didn't actually think about it until later on. I mean, later on in the app, I was just like, why is he... He's, like, a really nice guy. But when it became more intense in the relationship with Mariana, then I needed to figure that out. And I... But I didn't know what the writers were going to go for.
Yeah.
Because I knew at one point they're going to have to bring the sex up in the relationship.
Yeah.
And I just had to figure that out, but I couldn't really figure it out because you never know what they're going to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when I read it, I was like, okay, that's good. That's good to know.
It was surprising because Matt's role was there from when we had Esmeralda, her wig, right? So you
brought her
back to herself, and I feel like the aggression and the confidence that your character had, I would be in Mariana's place also to think like, oh, he's definitely had sex before. So that was funny and also unbelievably heartbreaking.
But I think too, like TV shows can be accused of being like too progressive sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they're trying to represent every child everywhere. So it's nice to see an example of like a young, cool musician who like isn't like doing drugs and having sex at 12 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like you said, he's a really nice guy. He's level headed.
Exactly.
Yeah. You probably don't know the answer. So tell us what you think would like to happen. Do we think Mariana and Matt are going to get back together? Do you know the answer?
I actually don't.
Good.
But I'd like to say yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, their connection is just pretty incredible. So I'd like to say yes.
I agree. I think that it was good that she came out clean right when she did. And she was actually, she played it smart by not saying, when she said it was while we were together, instead of saying right after you left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She chose everything she said very specifically. And then she didn't tell him who it was. I don't know, because I think that would have made an even bigger difference.
No. Yeah, she didn't.
All she said was, I've had sex before, done. And then he said when or whatever, and she was like, it was when we were together.
I really, really want her to tell him that it was the night you rejected me.
Yes.
And I really was like, my feelings are really hurt.
It just makes me so sad about girls. I hope that's the message that it sends out there, that you don't have to, you know, be so sad and victimized and know that it's okay, you know, just believe in yourself and then better things will come along. Had she just waited and not worried about it.
And she's 16, made a mistake, and it's not ruining her life.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right.
Just kidding, it's not. you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't know. I was always a Matt and Mariana fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that they will bring that back.
Me too. They're a solid couple, and I just love the way what Matt brings out in Mariana.
Yeah, I love that as well.
It's super cute.
He was incredibly supportive, and compared to our other relationship of Callie and Brandon, it's just so much easier to like.
Oh, I know, right? Nothing's wrong. They're okay. Yeah, Matt's a little older.
They bring out good sides of each other.
Yep.
Oh, Matt is older. You're right. Oh,
yeah,
so
it's
we're
going to
get into like college years next year.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah, true.
So if they're 17, does that mean they're going into their senior year of high school? Do we know what grade they're in?
I feel like that's what it was for Brandon. And then Callie, she just turned 17, so she's going to be a junior. Everyone is. God. So Brandon and Matt, I think, are the same age.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Oh, and Callie's a year younger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I mean, I'm curious, maybe worried, because it's like the downfall of every great family drama and or high school drama is like college.
Right.
Because the kids aren't together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Make and them go to community school. You know, like, keep them together.
Right.
Were you guys feeling a little, like, gypped, perhaps, that Jude was at camp this episode and wasn't the round?
A little bit. I feel like they might blow his character up a little bit towards the end of this season.
Blow it up?
Not blow it up, but like, something will happen, yeah. And then we'll be left with a cliffhanger.
Throw some cayenne pepper on his
maybe character. Or they're not doing it now so that he can be in the and be in everything else, you know?
Yeah, I just...
Not playing it out too much?
Yeah, I mean, I just always wonder things like that. Like, are there so many main characters that they're just like, mm-hmm. we have to get rid of one to focus? Or is this actor not available? Or did they just... They needed to focus on other characters at this point? Mm-hmm. I never know.
I do think that the actors are both very young, so it would be wise to not allow the relationship to progress as quickly as everyone else is.
Okay.
So it's better for us not to see that, because they're not going to be able to do that scene. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to have scenes that everyone else would have.
But they could even have Jude without Connor on screen.
Right. That's true. So who knows what
it could also be like a budget thing. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many leading recurring roles, like series regulars are expensive.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if you have any insight.
I don't. Not
it's
really.
Okay.
I don't even know how much I get paid. Yeah.
We're not asking. It's fine. It's fine.
No.
Okay. So Idlewild was like the big thing in the episode. It was like, became a couple's retreat
mm-hmm.
in the infamous cabin in the woods now.
Right.
Please.
I was just going to say, and just so we all know, the commute from San Diego to Idlewild is 2.5 hours.
I looked that up today.
Oh, yeah. I did it last night.
It's in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I only looked it up because I wanted to know if it was real or not.
Well, I knew it was real, but I just never knew how far away it was. And I kept thinking about how often Brandon was commuting. So I was like, what was his drive? So that's 5 hours, 6 hours in the car almost every day.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Oh, my. With gas prices? Are you kidding me?
I know.
He's not making money. He's stealing money from Danny, Nucci.
Yeah.
So Lena and Monty end up.
With a 12-pack of wine.
Yeah, they have 12 bottles of wine and 2 nights together.
Yes.
Do you think they're going to run out of wine? What?
Red.
Yeah. As soon as they pulled up alone, I was like, Monty is moving very fast mm-hmm. in the exploration of her sexuality.
Yes.
Which I like seeing. It's like she's so easy about it. I like that they don't make her label things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's cool that she's like, I was married to a man and yet I'm finding out that I like having sex with women, as
right.
she put it.
Mm-hmm. But she just has to be careful because it's one of those situations where are you just a sexual person and maybe you would just enjoying sex with anyone? Or are you emotionally attached to these people, you know?
Yeah.
However, she's kind of showing an emotional attachment towards Lena. So that makes a difference. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I can't stand her.
Oh, really? Oh, I like her a lot. You can't stand the character?
I can't stand the character because...
Or what she's doing.
Yes. And she's so good at it.
Oh.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
A sweetheart. Like, the character is such a sweetheart. But,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard to hate her. But at the same time, like... We love the...
She's a homewrecker.
We love the mamas, so...
But I like that she's, like, yeah. a homewrecker. And, like, she's not a villain, but, like, the villain who's, like, not intentionally trying to relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Jenna said, she's in love with Sherry Som, Lena. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I always get actors and their names confused.
Jenna, oh, right.
She's in love with Lena. And, like, I believe it. I believe, like, it was a slow-coming thing. They've known each other for, like, a year. And yet, she's not trying to be a homewrecker. She's not trying to break in, but
she's
still it's causing drama.
Yeah.
I think that's a very cool, like, real scenario.
Yeah. And I like that they made Jenna so aggressive because there's a joke between, you know, lesbians that, you know, they're U-Haul. Because women, when they'll meet each other. Even Jenna mentions it. She's not like other lesbians. She's not so, like, emotional, wants to talk about her feelings.
Yeah.
Which sounds miserable, by the way. But it was just funny because you can tell that those are the things that Monty didn't have, but that Jenna was just so aggressively ready and willing to do. She's like, I'm falling in love with this woman. You know, they've had, like,
yeah.
what, a couple of dates? Been together for a month, maybe?
It's yeah.
crazy.
And, I mean, I just like Monty's, like, casual relationship with her sexuality
mm-hmm.
and, like, how casually she's treating this, like, new phase,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word. We don't care if it's permanent or not. Just,
right.
like, it's life.
I just feel like
modern.
She's having a good time, and she's like, Lena, come have a good time with me. no, Lena is married, Monty. Leave her alone.
Like, shame on the promo, though, because they showed them enjoying wine in front of, like, a nice, beautiful fire. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, Lena's in on it.
Yeah.
So Steph brings her back to the house. Mm-hmm. They go into the room and sit on the couch where they have every serious conversation in the show, mm-hmm. in that one room. Like, obviously they're not breaking up, but, like, that was such a hard thing to watch.
Yes. It was sad, but it was everything that most of us were saying, both our viewers, the panel, that if it was nothing, and Steph says it herself, then maybe she would have said something sooner. And it was weird. It was really good to see what Lena's reaction was going to be for her even asking. And then you almost feel a type of way when you see Lena just go, no, nothing. Like, just so quickly denying it when all we can think of is, but there is something little going on. It might not be making a difference in your relationship, but it's just boiling.
Yeah, and for Steph, like, to hear that is, it makes your mind kind of go crazy, and mm-hmm. you think of everything that could have happened, and, like, did they have sex?
Yeah.
Like, all these things, and so she's probably thinking the worst right now.
And she's thinking, like, this is a small thing you kept from me. Like, what else have you kept from me?
Right. Well, and I like that she made a point, which I would have said the same thing. You're over here begging me to go to therapy and, you know, hassling me for this, when this whole time it's because clearly my defense mechanism would have argued to her, it's because you had the issues. You know, we would have been able to solve these themselves, but you had no idea how to battle with this situation that you're going on with.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's, yeah, it is. I don't remember watching another, like, family drama, for lack of a better word, that has, like, the parents having this reel of fights.
Mm-hmm. Well, where they're hurt, too, because you don't
yes.
see, yeah. I mean, they might have,
you're
like,
right.
financial problems, but when it comes to, like, their feelings as if they were boyfriend and girlfriend again.
Yes.
Or, excuse me, girlfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, or those fights are like, I told you to take out the trash.
Yes.
What is it doing here?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, there's something there, even if it's just Lena consciously knowing that this woman I work with has a crush on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how do you navigate that?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It's so sad.
I know. But they're already in therapy. Just keep going.
Now we have something to discuss at therapy. First thing.
Just keep swimming, y'all. Just keep swimming. Emotional episode, Steph crying. Mariana's one single tear talking to Matt.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. She was crushed. That was so sad.
I literally, the second your character said that you were a virgin, I cried. I was like, no!
Why did that
and
make
like,
you cry?
Yeah. Because it just made me sad for Mariana, because had she just waited, it's those missed opportunities.
Oh,
and again,
right. yeah.
you know, like,
oh,
if that's the only reason why she did it. And had she just trusted you, because you said everything perfect before you left, but she wasn't having it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sad, because it's one thing to feel guilty for having cheated on someone or having slept with someone else that you instead of who you wanted to. But then to hear that he was just on your level, and for him to say, I wanted us to lose it together, and she lost that opportunity when she didn't need to, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you
totally.
You can't take it back.
You
really.
Can't take it back. It's
yeah.
it's really, that's why it does. I mean, I know that it's a mistake and people make those, but that doesn't mean it's not going to bother her. And I get sad also because I knew the second your character found out, I feel like guys are more sensitive to those types of things. Where, can you get over it that she had sex with someone else and not you?
I think so.
Yeah. If that happened to me, I probably wouldn't get over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right?
I feel.
Ever.
You'd be like, no, because that was supposed,
yeah.
that was supposed to be mine.
Special.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yes, I know.
We don't need to pry too much, but are you saying in the regard to, like, virginity or just, like, sex in general in a relationship?
Well, the fact that she cheated while we were still together, but also, yeah, I think the virginity thing is also a big, I mean, it's a big deal.
Massive part of that, yeah.
Because he knew that about her. That was something very specific, I feel like, that you knew about Mariana
yeah.
and where she was
right
at.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
From the start. So that's horrible to have been with her through all this time, and then that's it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess
he was gone for, what, 3 weeks? A month at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just looking at it from the... I'm looking from the outside, being, I'm like 3 decades older than these characters,
oh.
give or take a couple. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, kids make mistakes.
Oh. But think about being a kid and having real feelings for the first time instead of saying, like, I love Hey Arnold and Rugrats. Like, that's what you loved when you were younger. But the first time that you have emotions towards another person that isn't your family members or a TV show or a stuffed animal, it's so sad because it's the first time as a human being that you are experiencing these things. Mm-hmm. So that's why the first love is always the one that you remember, because it hurts the most. It's the first time you, after that, you build your guard up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your wall,
yeah.
Excuse me.
All right, well, I'll report back when I finally fall in love.
okay, emotional episode, speaking of which, AJ goes to see his grandma. She had a stroke.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
Yeah. Thank God she remembered.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, her Alzheimer's. Good call. Ty was there.
Yes.
Thailand. Yeah.
I know.
Ty Dolla's.
Is that his last name?
I don't know. Ty Dolla $ign. I was just... He's mean. The name. The rapper. Anyway.
I've never heard of him.
Cool.
Sorry. What's rap? Wrapping paper. Sorry.
My bad.
That's great. So Mike's adoption paperwork goes through. Mm-hmm. He can legally foster AJ. They have a beautiful friendship right now, relationship. I really want Ty to see that and, like, mm-hmm. be happy for AJ.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know why he's so against this new foster parent.
Because he didn't get it, and it's his brother, and then the family's falling apart, and he wants his brother to be on his level. Like, family's supposed to stick to family, but this kid's trying to be fostered.
I think it's like that AJ's younger, and Ty thinks that he's, like, naive, and Ty, quote-unquote, knows this won't work out. So, like, why try again?
And I guess he's trying to have that responsible role in his life since he is the older one, you know? He was left to take care of his kid brother.
Yeah. It was weird seeing AJ so, like, emotional, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's losing his grandma, he's losing his brother. It's like, but yet he knows that where he's at is, like, a solid place.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That storyline just
it's gonna get good. I'm sure. I don't know what happens, but that is a big storyline for him.
Totally. And I was really happy to see Brandon apologize
right
to AJ, like, in his own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, because I feel like that the whole conversation between him and Steph definitely made it okay, because now he feels that if he were to have a difference of opinion, at least his mother would be there to support him. So it's easier to just kind of accept things for as they are, as long as they're including him, you know? Because if he was there to make the decision with them, then it's all right, because he wasn't, you know, he was involved. He just wanted to be involved, I think.
Brandon.
And so now, yes, Brandon. Yeah. So now I think he's all right in accepting it.
Yeah, and it makes it seem like the decision was a mutual one and mm-hmm. not one that was made for him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We touched on it briefly before, but with Rita, Callie said, sent the voicemail mm-hmm. that she recorded her conversation with Carmen.
Yeah.
I was really happy to see Steph going in there to check in on her, to have that, like, brief conversation, just to be like, we miss you, how are you doing, on the porch. I thought that was, like, really just, like, a nice mom. And beautiful. Yeah.
Poor thing. This is where it's all sad, because then I think the entire family is just confused, because they want Callie. Callie wants to be there. Callie can't be there. Callie's in love with Brandon, you know? I mean, the way that these kids are going, they have potential to, I don't want to say, like, get married, but I don't know, be permanent later. Because, you know, oftentimes you don't want to take a younger relationship serious because you grow up and things change. Your feelings change. Point blank period.
Yeah.
But I think that because it was so, what happened to them was so heavy, that it's something that you don't get over so quickly.
It could also be, like, what you're saying, that, like, they are not able to have a relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so there's so many feelings that they can't, like, play out and see mm-hmm. if they would or would not work.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that they get older and, like, then they're able to explore it mm-hmm. when they're, like, adults and able to have, like, an adult relationship that could, like, potentially last longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the forbidden love is...
It's the best one.
Plays with you.
Yeah.
Misses with you.
Yeah. I mean, Mariana and Matt could be heading that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Unresolved feelings. I don't know, one more episode of this, and it gets soaking.
It was good, because I loved that when he drove away and he came back, and he's like, I came back because I needed to see you. Like, oh, that was so great.
I know. And then the last thing that happened was that Steph and Mike, but Mike to a lesser extent, is still on the trail to find out who hit Anna's car.
Right, because he had a very big clue. And I was proud of him for grabbing the pen to get Ty's fingerprints. And now everything's falling together, which we all predicted heavily.
But we also don't know exactly that it's Ty.
Right, but...
Every sign is pointing towards that, and yet the writers have always showed us that, like, what you think's going to happen will not happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still think it could be AJ, perhaps?
No, I don't think it'll be AJ. If anything, it's that the white kid that was in the car with him, because that was the son.
Well, we saw the white kid in the video.
Has he got a twin or something? Because the way Mike said, how you going in the car, he replied like he just has never met him. But the guy that got...
The owner of the
he was questioned.
The guy's
right,
son?
The son, yeah.
Was Mike there?
Was that meant to be the guy that got questioned by Steph? Was that the same guy that was in the car with Ty?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Which is the reason why Danny Nucci's character had to say, wait. And then even though he already said bye, he said bye again. He needed to get a good look at the right. kid before he were to make any okay. assumptions. Yeah. At that point, he went back into the nursing home and grabbed the pen because now he can associate the two. So he wants to see if the fingerprints on the
right.
match any of the prints that Steph already has.
But when Steph brought the kid in for questioning, Danny Nucci wasn't there, right?
No.
Okay.
No, but Steph had recently showed Mike
the footage
of the kid going into the convenience store.
I would be so nervous if I was that kid. That he was brought in for questioning again.
Oh my goodness.
I'd be like, they're on my trail.
Yes,
I gotta leave
exactly.
town. I gotta go to Mexico, fly some kites. Mm-hmm. We know that happens. Oh my God.
We know.
guys, let's transfer to some news and gossip. Oh.
TV news.
I like that sound effect. Mm-hmm. So the TCAs were this weekend, the Critics Association Awards. The Fosters won Outstanding Achievement in Youth Programming.
Nice. Oh, well done. I love it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sherry Song, Danny Nucci, and Hayden were there to accept the award.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Totally. They beat out Sesame Street, Switch to Birth, and another show, I think, called The Neighborhood.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what I love about the Fosters. They are kind of creating dramatic situations, but without blowing them out of proportion. And not doing it so much for entertainment, but doing it so that it's youth programming to teach a lesson, to show people how things can actually be.
And a great example of that is the fight between Lena and Steph, that they're having a fight. They're not breaking up because couples fight.
Right.
And that's fine. Not every fight leads to a breakup. I thought that was awesome.
And that teenagers can fall in love and have awesome sex also.
Another great lesson and a very important lesson that we learned today.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I don't condone it, everyone. Remember what happened to Mariana? Don't be...
She's fine.
Yeah.
I know, but still, save it for the right one. He might be a virgin too.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was that the one of the executive producers, Joanna Johnson, directed the episode.
Yeah.
Her directorial debut.
It was incredible.
What was it like working with her?
It was awesome. It was great seeing her in a different light than just, you know, the producer I see at the read-throughs, but she was on set, like, very hands-on, and she shot some beautiful stuff in that app. Like, what an incredible app.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They're just like some, I know like everybody uses Focus, but like her use of Focus, like with like the scene between Steph and Jenna, and then just like go to Sherry Sum and then back to them. And yeah, she's an actress from Bold and the Beautiful, but her first time directing. How fun.
Mm-hmm. No, she did do great. I like that you said on the Focus, because even between Lena and Monty, when Jenna walks in, the face of like jealousy that Jenna has and just kind of already doesn't like how much they're getting along, you know? So she,
yeah.
I've noticed a lot of the background in this too.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. You could not tell directorial debut at all.
Yeah.
No. And on set, she was just amazing. It was awesome.
Really? They've had some big, like, cool directors.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome to know that you're the type of show that everyone's down to be on board to direct an episode. Be a part of our series.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to?
Yeah.
Or next. Let's do some predictions. So we saw...
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
It's okay. It's just aliens are not coming.
It's gonna be fine. Breathe. We saw like the repercussions of the Brawley sex leading into the next episode. Do you guys have any predictions? What do you think is gonna happen?
I mean, well, I'm excited just to see what the discussion is between the two of them after the, like, you know, post sex. But that sucks that they're awarding her the adoption. I mean, come on. And Callie, of course, freaks out because. Do you allow yourself to be adopted even though you had sex with your new brother? You know? How do you... Because legally, then they're brother and sister. You can't be like, well, not really, but then really my moms are my moms. You know what I'm saying? You can't have your cake and eat it too.
I think that she could... Because since she knows her family is such a good family, she could squash those feelings for another year.
No, you
until see, this guy goes to college.
Right, but then it doesn't matter because legally that's still her brother. So if they were to happen later, then Brawley is not allowed anymore.
Oh.
If she gets adopted by by the Adams Foster's family, then I'm no longer going to be Team Bradley.
I don't know that you're saying legally they couldn't be together. I don't know that there are actually laws against incest like that.
No, I know that, but that's when it's just uncomfortable having to explain this to other people.
Oh, absolutely.
People,
yeah.
Well, he's my adoptive brother, but we fell in love before the adoption. You know? Is that okay?
Wait,
are you
saying that you think she's going to like give herself up and not allow it to go through?
I think she's going to think of it because it's better for the family. It's better for herself. She doesn't know what her feelings or what she's going to do. And we don't know how amazing the sex was between them. Like you said, it gave them a different level of getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the sex being good, but the connection. We don't know what kind of a connection that they felt or had.
I mean, I think the connection they're implying is that this is like Romeo and Juliet, like end of days love.
Right.
Maybe not like the teen suicide at the end.
Never was there a story of than Callie and her Brandon.
Girl's gone Idlewild. Thank you, Jillian, for that joke.
I know.
Oh my God, Jordan, anything you're excited to see happen?
I more Fosters. I don't know. I'm still trying to get over that app, and I'm very excited for the next one. And
it's such a big app.
Are you Team Mariana still? Believe in them?
I am.
All right.
I'm very excited to see what happens.
Oh, my God. Is it official yet? Are you allowed to say if you're coming back for 3B?
I'm not sure.
Okay. We can just assume yes.
Yeah.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hint, please, and thank you.
So, like, looking online today, there is a couple of references to your 2.5 years in Lion King. Did you want to, like, sing a song for us? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe the opening number?
I don't think so.
You don't remember the songs at all?
No.
You were young Simba?
It's okay, I'll harmonize.
Okay.
Kidding.
I only ask because it's, like, my one dream in life to be, like, on a New York subway and have the cast of Lion King stand up and start singing. And this would be, like, a really close second. So it's okay.
I don't know.
We're not here to make dreams. It's fine.
I'm sorry.
This is not make a wish. It's fine.
Well, it's very funny because, you know, Ashley Argota, who plays Lou on the show, she actually played Nala.
Oh, really?
On Broadway, I think, or in America. I'm not sure, but I did 3 years in Sydney, and we occasionally would just break out into "I Just Can't Wait to Be King."
The best
in makeup or wherever.
This is Ashley.
Be a mighty king.
That's incredible.
The enemy's here. I've never seen a little beast. I was trying to get to the parts that you can sing.
Good setups. That's okay. Anything else you're looking forward to, like in life, you can tell us about, and like projects, like what else are you working on?
Just a lot of music. Right now, but yeah, I just finished Romeo and Juliet, actually. Bradley Bredewig's production of that. I was playing Paris, and I just had my last show on Saturday.
Nice.
It's really sad to see that go, but it was a really great experience for me. I've been wanting to do theater for a while. Like, that's my first theater since Lion King.
Oh.
And that was when I was 10, so about, you know, 13 years later.
Wow. But, I saw the first iteration of it, but I thought it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. We did a second run, and we have Corden Blue, who plays...
High School Musical.
Who plays the new Romeo.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, we have the last show on Friday.
Cool. So you're just coming down from that.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to go watch and support, and yeah, I learned a lot during that, so... Yeah, but that's really inspired me to get more music.
Awesome.
Happening.
May I ask you what would you say your strongest passion is? Is it dance, singing, or being on stage, or acting?
I think it's acting, definitely.
Acting, okay.
But I kind of grew up just doing a bit of everything.
Right, of course. And, I mean, performing is performing, right?
Yeah, I just love performing and entertaining people, to be honest. And,
cool.
But yeah, I want to start, you know, writing scripts and see what happens and just... explore the creativity.
It's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you for joining us today. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for having
me. It was so much
fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Where can everybody find you on social media until next time?
I have Instagram, Twitter, and I just started a Facebook. My Twitter is Jordan at Jordan's Blah 09 or whatever.
Like BLAH, Blah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Blah 09. And same for my Instagram. I don't know what my handle is for Facebook, but I just started it.
Twitter is good enough.
Put in Gordon Rodriguez and see what you get.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, this has been so much fun. Steph, where can everybody find you?
First, thank you so much for coming. So I am happy to be here. No. And you can all find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie.
Cool. I tweet from JeffMasters1. And of course, you can find all of our stuff on iTunes Podcast. If you guys want to comment there, let us know what you want to improve on. If you think we have nothing to improve on, say that because people will like to read that. Any comments and likes there will help our ratings. Of course, we're on YouTube and AfterBuzz's website. We're going to see you guys next week. Good night.
Good night.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.